Watch your backs. The juice is loose.
He's 70 years of age, mate. He's
Watch
not going to harm.
All right.
He's not going to harm.
OJ's out of jail. We've got the details of that. Robin Bailey, you were talking about people screaming at kids' sport matches because you've been doing a little bit on the sidelines of your son's football matches.
Yeah, I've had to kind of temper it a little because I'm thinking, oh, I've still got a couple of radio shows to go before I start letting loose this weekend. But yes,
really
we've got lots of calls.
Also, Marto, we spoke to a tradie who's electrified his ute.
So About time. Tradesmen are sick of having stuff stolen. Actually, we did hear from people who had some extraordinary stuff stolen. One of that bloke, the whole roof went.
The whole roof. And then Woof. Gordy Tallis was shocked to learn how much the judges on The Voice earn versus the coaches in the NRL and the Origin. That was very good fun. Plenty in the catch-up. Have a nice time.
Very quickly, too, if you are an exclusive catch-up, good. I'm glad you enjoy it. But it would be a real idea to listen to 104.5 Triple M. Tune in at 8:30 or just before on Monday. We've got 10 grand up for grabs with the pressure test.
That doesn't help because most of the people who are listening to this are probably pumping iron at the gym.
It's very true. But get your phone. I mean, you've got a phone at the gym. I'm sure you're listening to music on it. So call right now. 1-3-5-3. I'm sure you're listening. Call now.
I'm on the bench press, mate. I haven't got time.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Now, you know how I'm in Cairns at the moment and have been since Wednesday and will be till Sunday.
What is it? The Queensland Under-16 Soccer Championships, no?
Yes. Yeah. So they're trying to get the Queensland team together and then they'll go on to the Nationals. And we're in Cairns and in Townsville, the Under-15s Rugby are also doing the same thing.
Yeah, I've got some friends who got kids up there.
Yeah, so the Far North is awash with 15-year-old boys and girls. But it's been kind of interesting because I'm in a villa with two other families, two other mums and their sons. And so we try and do a meal at night together. And last night the boys were chatting away because they'd had their first two games and they were both really tight and really exciting. And so we might have got a little vocal on the sideline.
On the sidelines.
Yeah.
Oh, are you a yellow?
I'm a yellow man. It just, because I think, honestly, I think it lifts the boys. Like, I'm yelling encouragement and I get excited. And there are a lot of dads there too. There are a lot of dads here on the sideline. So I was asking the boys who they hear the most. Do they hear the mums or the dads? And they were like, oh man, it's definitely the mums.
I can hear mums.
Yeah, you shriekers.
See, I think it's a tonal thing. Mm. But I wanted to prove it, so I went to Ninja Warriors because know how they all have the families running along the sidelines.
Walking as they go across,
Yeah, so we put a bit of a montage together of some of those screaming family members and let's see who is yelling louder, the men or the women.
Let's go, Jack! 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 Jack!
Oh, that bogan woman at the end. Man of the match for me.
I think that was tonally, that was the women's voices seemed to cut through more. But, Marta, will you do, you know, when you're on the side?
I love going to footy on a Saturday to watch my son play. And you know what? I just realised my wife does yell a lot, but I all encouragement, whereas I will yell at the referee.
Oh, horrific, so I know. She yells to support
and
Harry,
I yell
but you yell to get angry at the
I
ref.
Am a referee as well, and I just try to help out.
Oh, yeah. Really nice guy.
Because I have seen some very angry parents on the sidelines.
It's dads who get angry, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, you know. I'd love to know, though. 1-3-3-5-3.
The best thing you can do, Robin, is just say the kid's name. This is from coaching kids over the years. As long as you say their name, they won't know what else you said. Just say go and their name and you give them a lift and they're a bit more focus.
It does make a difference, though. Like, we were really, the pressure was on us and the other mum that I was with, Nula, kept saying, I want to scream. And I was like, mate, we have to. These kids have got a lift. And they did. So I'm going to justify my yelling.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, who yells more, mums or dads? The men or the women on the sidelines.
Robin's made a claim that her children are saying that they notice the women yelling more than they notice men. That's an interesting fact.
Well, and I think it's also because Lewin, my 15-year-old, is slightly embarrassed that he knows it's me that's yelling at him. So I think it's a...
But it's all encouragement, isn't it? Nothing negative.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Lyndall of Logan Central, who yells more, men or women?
Well, as a yellow myself, I'll go with women, but my son's actually a ref, and he was refing an under-13s game last Friday night.
Yeah.
And had to leave the field to break up two women that were fighting. They had their hands around each other's necks because one son had called another son anorexic, but then the mothers got into it.
Oh, jeez.
And he had to break it up because the duty official was nursing her baby.
There's a number of things.
There's a lot going on there. Okay, so they're taking some grievances onto the field. Thank
Did he
you
use
much,
the whistle, Lyndall? Do you know? Like, you know how when players are fighting, it's like two dogs fighting, you never put your arm in there, you just use your whistle. That sort of stuff.
My son doesn't mind getting in amongst stuff, so I imagine he just stepped in between them and pushed them aside and told them to knock it off, I would imagine.
I love your son.
Knock it off. Oh. Thank you, Lyndall. Matt's from Coomera.
Give me the touch judge's flag. I need to dong someone on the head.
Who's more vocal on the sidelines, the men or the ladies, Matt?
Definitely the ladies, and this is coming from past experiences with my mum and sister. Very embarrassing. Every time I was running, making a breakaway, going for a try, they were literally like the touchies. They were right there.
And they were running beside
the mobile.
Yeah. They're running beside
you. They were mobile. They were running up and down and screaming at the same time.
But no screaming?
I tried not to listen because I was obviously trying to concentrate on the game, but everyone else said it was all right screaming, I guess. But, it's quite embarrassing. There was one time where this guy tackled me, and it was a pretty good tackle. I, brushed it off, but I said, mate, you better start running. He goes, oh, why? I said, my sister's just behind you.
What, she ran on the field?
And she doesn't look at
me. She ran on the field because she thought I got tackled too hard.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so good. Can you red card a parent or whatever the equivalent is in rugby union and rugby league?
Yeah,
can you
send
them?
You can.
Surely. To get them off and stop them doing it.
It's a good idea by refs to go over anyone who's yelling out too much, to go over and humiliate them personally and say step away or don't watch the game.
Mm. Yeah, Shelley,
from experience.
Shelley's from Fernie Grove. Men or ladies, who yells more at the kids' sport or at sport?
I've got to say men because my dad got banned from my sister's netball games when we were little.
Why?
And he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was being supportive and everything, but they said, you're just too loud. You can't come anymore. I'm sorry.
How old was your sister when he got banned from netball?
About 14.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, he's banned from 14-year-olds.
So, yeah. I got to say, man, everyone's saying women, but no, I reckon men are.
Shelley, have you got kids playing sport?
No, not yet.
Right, Robert, I'll ask you, Robert. It's an emotional roller coaster.
Oh,
it is unbelievable. On a Saturday, we're finished by lunchtime or whatever, and win or lose decides how you're feeling for the rest of the day. Oh, how your child
and
goes.
And we lost the second game.
Yeah,
and
yesterday.
It was my son had to take the penalty shootout and missed it.
Oh,
and then they got
And you're to blame for that, Robin.
No, why? What?
He's yours.
And then they got the ball and scored at the other end, and there was like very little time left to go. And seriously, in the car, it's that thing I'm saying to the other mums, do we just pretend? Do we go to Coles and buy a chocolate cake? What do you do?
Keep a lid on it.
It is an interesting day today because OJ Simpson, the juice, has been released on parole by the Nevada Board of Parole. And to tell us more, Claire from the newsroom. Morning, Claire.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
We're good. Now, the first thing to say is that people go, OJ Simpson, yes, he was part of that trial of the century, Robin and Marta. You and I would have remembered watching it live on
TV.
But
it was ages ago. Can we remind everyone what the story is?
Yeah, so first of all, we know that OJ Simpson was eventually acquitted of the murder of his ex-wife and her friend, right? So that was what everyone kind of remembered way back. That was back, she died in 94 now. Right back, early 90s. So then, in a bizarre turn of events, almost 13 years later, so we're talking more than a decade later, after that's all done and dusted, he's got his acting career up and running, everything's going okay, he apparently is involved in this bizarre situation in Las Vegas. So what it is OJ Simpson gets in touch with this memorabilia dealer, this sports memorabilia dealer, and says, look, I think some of my stuff's been stolen to be sold by one of your fellow dealers. And he hatches this plan to turn up at a Las Vegas hotel room with some guests of a wedding he was meant to be attending, mind you. So he just goes and recruits these wedding guests. In he rocks, and supposedly one of these blokes he was with had a gun. O.J. Simpson himself did not. And held them up, basically, to get his memorabilia back, what he claimed had been stolen from him. So it was actually 13 years to the day after he was acquitted for the murders that he ended up being sentenced to 9 to 33 years for this armed robbery.
Because what they did was, it was basically like revenge sentencing because they, with the guy, because the guy had the gun, I've seen a doco on OJ, didn't know, he says he doesn't know he had it. He wasn't in the same room as OJ at the time.
What happened to the guy with the gun?
Yeah. They all cut deals as well, some of the other guys, so it was quite murky.
So to stitch him up.
Yeah, it ended up sort of, you know, because they had OJ on the hook, so they were like, well, that's who we want, not these other blokes.
Yeah.
And so then they ended up, you know, saying, oh, it was attempted kidnapping, it was held against their will, Claire. They ended up with like 20 charges, didn't they?
Yeah, stack of charges, over 20 charges that he ended up going it down on. And as I say, the minimum was 9 years, so that's what he has served at the moment. So he's just on 9 years, but the maximum 33. And of course, as Ed's saying, that all comes back to all of these people, this great belief that OJ was guilty of those original murders and they wanted to see him go away. So there's big conspiracy theories about it. But yeah, he ended up serving 9 years for this memorabilia, but overnight, as we know, he has been granted parole.
He's 70.
One of the victims,
70 years of age now.
One of the victims who he held up, he was in court overnight. I'll bring you some audio throughout the morning, and he was supporting OJ, saying, "Look, he was a nice guy. He made a bit of a mistake. It's not a big deal. 9 years was excessive in the first place. 33 years was completely over the top. Let the guy go."
Can I check? Did those blokes that he was trying to get the memorabilia back, was it actually his?
Well, there's still debate about it. He never got it back. So.
The problem was there was stuff that some of them had alleged that they had been given by him, and there was other stuff that they said they'd bought from somewhere else that someone's in it. Like, you know, it's the old, you leave it in your house, Rob, and if you're O.J. Simpson, someone might actually just take it and try and sell it. There was all that going on.
Can I check another historical footnote? Remember that slow car chase?
With the Bronco?
Low speed. Yeah. Why didn't they pull him over or crash into him or whatever?
Because he had a gun.
Oh God, Holland, that's America.
And it was making amazing television, and everyone was following him in shoppers.
Was that the first ever live car chase in history?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. So what happens to him now? Can he go out and get back into his acting career and stuff in October?
Yeah, so expected to walk free October 1, and they reckon that he'll be back to it. He's looking pretty thin, though, and pretty unwell, to be honest. He's sort of a shadow of what he used to be, but they reckon that's the old prison diet. But, you know, he is supposedly back to his acting career from October 1, so time will tell.
I heard that he's dating Caitlyn Jenner.
Wow.
Oh,
I'm going
to do it for you to get it on television.
Thanks so much, Claire.
You're welcome.
Did anyone see a current affair last night?
I saw your big mug.
Oh, you did? All right.
I did.
Let's tell the story. There was Dave the tradie, and he was sick, as I am and a lot of blokes are, of having his tools stolen from either his trailer or the back of his ute. So Dave's decided to go down to the fencing joint and get some of the electrical fencing and wires up his trailer each night and electrifies it inside his property. It's legal, apparently. So we're watching the story of Dave, and he's just had a gutful. He's going to retire if it doesn't happen anymore. And then this bloke comes on and says, Dave, what about you? Dave's an experienced tradesman, and necessity is the mother of all invention. And Dave, you are a champion.
Yep.
Look at you go.
And we go to that champion now. Dave, you got the official Mardo tick of approval on a current affair. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, how are you?
It was so good to see a tradesman who wasn't dodgy on a current affair, Dave.
It's happened before, and I'm just over it. You sort of look at other options.
How many times have you had stuff stolen? Because we hear about it all the time, Dave.
Oh, it's most probably over the years, about the sixth or seventh time.
Jeez. And I made the point last night, they're not just stealing things, they're stealing your ability to make money, correct?
They're stealing your livelihood.
So has the electrocution worked? Have you caught anyone?
No, I haven't. Well, I've got CCTV CCTV footage as well now, and there'd be no sign of anybody touching anything.
Well, Dave, the thing is, if it does happen and you zap them, you then got to put it on the internet and you'll actually, you'll go viral. Somebody getting zapped. How bad is it, Dave? Have you tested it on yourself? Like, how strong have you got it?
Yeah, well, it goes in cycles. And the first one isn't too bad. You can stomach it. And I've gone to the second one, and I haven't gone to the third and fourth. I've let go.
Oh, Jesus, Dave. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, Dave, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
65.
And you're still working?
Jeez.
Yep. Still on the tools.
Dave, have you ever walked out in the morning and forgotten about it and touched it yourself?
No, but I did drive off and have it was all hooked up, so I had to rewire it all.
Oh, just yanked it out. Well, yeah. Dave, you're on a current affair last night. You're protecting your tools in a great way. And also, Peter Dutton wants to speak to you. He's got a job for you at these new security super ministries. So good luck there, buddy.
Yeah.
He's happy to help. All right, Dave. Okay. See you, mate.
All right, no problem.
Dutton's cool.
Mate, well, you know how often we get a call from a tradie going, I've had my trailer knocked off overnight, or I've had the back of my ute stolen, can you help me out? Often we can't. But it's happening so bloody much, these dirty criminals stealing stuff. Have you bikes ever had anything stolen?
Well, Robin?
Yeah, I have. I had two bikes taken out of my garage, actually only in the last month.
What for?
I don't know. Some kids must have been walking past and they would have had to go looking, like actually kind of peer around and look for them.
But it's they take bikes. Out. That's bizarre because the only thing I've ever had properly stolen is a washing machine and a whippersnipper. Who steals your washing machine?
Where was the whippersnipper?
The whippersnipper was in my shed. So they've obviously looked around and gone, oh, my God, what a wonderland this is. And they've only stolen a whippersnipper, two items of hard work.
Jeez. Yeah, but where was the washing machine? In the laundry?
Washing machine was our old house. I went away and it was in the underneath, open, you know, the old Queenslander, dirt floor downstairs. They flogged it, took the clothes out, put that in the laundry tub and stole the washing machine.
Oh, my goodness.
What's that about?
They needed a washing machine.
But they're bloody heavy.
Yeah. Well, they're very heavy. You need like a removal, you need the trailer thing or whatever it is, the little picky-uppy thing.
A ute? You know?
Yeah, ute.
That's the one.
So, what have you had stolen? Love to know. 133353. Tools from outside your house, whippersnippers. Wasn't there a spate of new outdoor furniture going missing for a while? I seem to remember that.
Oh, that's not a bad one. That's such an easy thing to steal, too.
From new housing
estates. Garden gnomes go all the time. If you have a garden gnome, people steal them.
And take them on, send them on holidays and send photos. I'm missing you back. Have you ever heard this one? In new houses, like on estates, people go in and steal the spas. John from Toowoomba, what have you had stolen, mate?
Mate, I just had a break-in quite a few years ago, and they smashed a sliding door to get in, so no one home, of course. We've gone to have a look, turned the house upside down, found nothing missing, and waited all day for the cops. After the cops turned up and did the printing, they said you could clean up, and went to grab the vacuum cleaner, it's gone. They stole the vacuum cleaner.
The Dyson. They needed a Dyson.
It was a clean getaway.
Cost me $400 for a door and $90 for a vacuum cleaner.
That is just ridiculous, John. A vacuum cleaner. All right, thank you, Johnny.
That is so embarrassing when they break in and they don't find anything they want to take.
Or they leave something.
Yeah.
They're leaving a voucher.
Sorry.
Todd's from Runaway Bay. Hey, Toddy, what did you have stolen?
Hi, mate. Look, I had my kite surf stolen from the garage. I live in a unit complex. And I wasn't going to do anything about it. I couldn't be bothered reporting it to the cops, but I did. And I'm glad I did because 4 months later, I happened to be in Cash Converters just down the road, mind you. And I thought, that looks mighty familiar. Hang on, that's my kite.
Aren't they quite expensive, those things?
They are indeed. But I reckon the guy would have got all of $100 for it. So I don't know what he's converting it to. I call it smack converters these days because the amount of drug he's walking around that's so desperate. You know, he's obviously not... He wasn't a kite surfer. He was known to the cops. They found him. His identification because he got a loan. He got a loan on it. He left his address and everything.
Genius. Oh.
Robin, yeah.
No, we're going to ask the same question. Did you get it given back? Like, were you allowed to take it home because you could prove it was yours?
Absolutely, yeah. I just had to let the cops know that who I bought it from and and they called him to double check, and it was all good. So yeah, they did a great job.
The poor old smack converters. So they're the ones who are out of pocket.
In this instance, they are, but you can find many fine and legitimate secondhand goods at that place. Yes. Here we go. Adam is from Yatala. Adam, what did you have stolen, mate?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Back in November last year, at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon on Monday, a fella stole my 2016 Jayco base station. And it only took him 3 minutes to steal it, and it was all locked up.
A whole caravan was stolen, is what you said.
Even with the jack outside, it was jacked out a little bit, and he spotted on the M1 when he stole it.
Spotted on the M1. So your phone's not the best, but that's what you're saying. A Jayco caravan motor taken, jacked out of its mooring, and then taken on the M1 straight away. It's a caravan. How on earth do you get away with that?
You'd have to have been wanting it, I reckon.
Well, don't they steal them to go and cook drugs in them or something, don't they, Adam? That's what I heard.
Oh, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and 2 weeks prior to that, I put it all over Facebook that the same people stole a speedboat.
Did you say we're having trouble picking you up?
We might have to let you go, Adam, because your stories are great, but your phone line sucks.
Jeez,
nothing safe.
You know how I was in the Barossa recently for my holidays.
Yeah.
I was in this little bus tour taking us to all the wineries, and he stopped at a creek and with a bridge running over it, and he said, "Oh, quick, the sign's back." And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And there is a sign that says Jacob's Creek.
Oh,
and apparently it's stolen every single week by wayward bus drivers saying, "Hey, do you want the Jacobs Creek sign?"
That's a bit of fun. Well, you don't do it, but it's a bit of fun. Logan's from Logan. Logan, first things first, well done on the name.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well done. We like it. And what did you have stolen, buddy?
I'm a roofer, and I rocked up on site to put someone's roof on. And the whole lot was gone. Sheets, insulation, battens, screws.
A roof.
So it was on the footpath, was it? And somebody's just come and pulled. That's a lot of hard work to load that up.
They would have needed a crane truck and everything to get it all up.
God. Are there criminals that organised, Logan? That's amazing.
Apparently so. Hey, on job sites around Logan anyway, they... people's dishwashers and ovens and stuff get knocked off before the house is even signed over.
You heard me talking about that spa before. They go as well. Bathtubs go. People just go into these new houses before someone moves in and flog everything.
Jesus.
That's it. Everyone's getting in.
Hey, thanks,
Logan.
What
did you do about the roof? Did you report it?
Well, I was on the phone to the office that I contract out to trying to tell them that it's not here, and they're trying to tell me, it got dropped off yesterday. But, just end up going home and then it has to get reordered.
Well, cruise down to Cash Converters and ask them if they've got a whole roof that you can have. Thank you, Logan.
Logan from Logan. Wow.
Sandy of Kalanga, what did you have stolen?
7 plum puddings.
Please explain, Sandy. What's the situation?
I cook plum puddings for Christmas every year.
Yeah.
And they take 6 to 7 hours to boil. Then you have to hang them to dry.
Yes.
And when I came home from work, my 7 plum puddings that were hanging under my pergola were gone.
Was the dog around?
Don't have a dog.
Right.
Oh, no, right. Sandy, your plum puddings must be renowned in the area. They were just waiting for them to hang.
Well, you can smell them because I have a big old copper pot that I boil them on outside in the pergola.
Sandy, where did your investigations take you? Like, you look and they're not there, and what did you start to do? Where did you go?
Well, I asked my husband if he brought them in early.
Yeah, of course.
And he said no.
Right, that's
he didn't.
Step one.
And he said they must have been stolen. And I went, well, can't do anything about it. I hope they know how to boil them because you've got to boil them for 1 hour. And then take the calico off and then eat them.
Okay.
Wow, true.
Yeah.
We've all learned something here this morning.
True. Sandy, you're off to Triple M's preview screening of A War for the Planet of the Apes. It's in cinemas July 27th. Congratulations.
Okay, you know how the two Green senators have got themselves in all kinds of trouble and have had to resign because it's been discovered they have dual citizenship. The first one was a New Zealander. The second one was a Canadian. Mm-hmm. I've kind of been looking at that story over the last few days, and yes, these people are in power, and yes, they should have read the finer paperwork, and that was part of the deal if you want to represent Australia in Parliament. But when it comes to the bigger issue of dual citizenship, I actually have two passports. I have a British passport and an Australian passport.
But you weren't born over in England.
No, but my dad was. My sister was. And my parents spent half their life in each country. And the reason why I retain my British passport is because, I mean, it's going to be a bit more of a problem with Britain exiting Brexit. Up until now, I can go right through Europe with a British passport and don't have to queue up with all the foreigners. And also the other advantage.
So you just flip and flop. If you went over to Europe or the UK, you just pull out that passport. And if you come back here, you just pull out our one.
Yeah, but why? If you had that advantage, wouldn't you take it? The other issue is,
why I don't think it's fair. our family's been here for a really long time, and we're Australian, so I reckon you should have to pick.
No.
You want to move here, you have to denounce your right to have lived in another country.
Some of this going back to your playing days, I believe
why I'm jealous, because there was a lot of blokes who used to go over to play rugby over in Europe and they wouldn't be counted as foreigners, and I used to absolutely hate it. I was so jealous, because it's same for your kids. If they are any good at soccer, that will be so valuable. Have they got dual citizenship as well?
That's a really good question. Yes, I think so, because I think it's your grandfather if one of your grandparents, unless that's changed.
You're not counted as a foreigner. And I used to be so jealous of that, going, oh, God, it's so much easier.
Your kids, Robin, and they're as English as Kim Jong-un. Like, they're not English in any way, shape or form. They shouldn't be allowed to have an English passport.
Well, but the advantage is if they were ever to go and play in the Premier League.
But I don't think you should get the advantage. I'd never even thought about it until the green stuff and thought, I guess that is right. You've got to make a choice. Do you want to be here or do you want to be one of them?
But let me just say, this is a generational thing, because my parents came out when originally, even though my mum was born here, they came out as 10-pound poms, right? And they were desperate after the war and right through into the 70s and so on to get people out here. The only way they could is if the English didn't denounce Mother England. And remember, during the Second World War, we were all about that's the motherland. So there was this encouragement, and it was the only way they could get people here if they said you don't have to get rid of your other passport. Well, now things have changed, and you're saying we'll stuff you. And I mean, certainly
a lot
my
of things have changed. So why doesn't that change?
Well, because my mum came out on that deal, so she's still got two passports. Should she get rid of them?
I think the deal's expired by now, by the way. Like, that's a long time ago.
Except if you were born in South Africa and could do both countries, then it wouldn't be expired, would it?
What do you mean?
Well, then you'd be able to go between South Africa, being a rugby country, or New Zealand. Well, New Zealanders can come anyway.
I don't want to go there. It's too hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
Well, so which citizenship would
you like? But I bet you there's some more politicians. Like, you can't tell me that Matthias Cormann. There's more of them going to get caught, isn't there?
I don't know.
Well, we all go for Matthias Cormann because he's got an accent.
Yes, and cheap.
So we're all profiling Cormann because we're like, well, surely he's got to go. He's got to be from somewhere. Or somewhere or another.
Which nationality would you like, Mardo? If you could have anywhere in the world,
Spanish.
Where would you want to be?
Spanish.
Why? You'd be a great Spaniard.
It's a bloody good spot.
You'd be a great Spaniard. You'd be one
would
of
not
the great
be a great
Spaniards.
Spaniard.
No, he'd be El Terrible. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us, everyone loves Tallis. Oh, he
morning,
was calling
Gordy.
It last night for Triple M.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate. Hey, what did you take out of last night, Gordy? Top two things. Was it attack or defence?
I think it was Brisbane's attack to score that many points. I know the Dogs have sort of struggled to score points, so I knew that they weren't going to outscore Brisbane. But for Brisbane to score that many points, and the way they scored them was probably pretty pleasing for, like, Wayne Bennett, because he's a defensive coach, so they'll get their defence right, because that's an attitude thing. But obviously, to get everybody chiming and, Hunt and Milford back there scoring the points that they did when they made the grand final would have been a pleasing sight for the Broncos.
Hey, Gordy, I know it's the women in leagues round for the whole weekend, but what did you think of the pink socks?
Well, do you know what? Do women really like pink?
That's what we keep asking.
8-year-old you girls do.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, look, if that's showing that, you know what I mean, like, it is a women in league round. I don't know whether we should change our colours for the jerseys. I really love what the Roosters did. Steggles, their sponsor, took it off for the weekend, and you're allowed to put whatever name you want on, so you can put your mum, your daughter, your wife, yes, or whatever.
Lovely.
So, like, yeah, see, so I think that's a better idea than just pink. I don't know whether every woman loves pink, but Robin, we've come a long way from our mums.
Gordy, just to jump in, Ed highlighted Mitchell Pearce. You haven't seen what the name was on
his?
He's
got a paw print on his, Gordy.
Outstanding, Rover.
Anyway. Hey, Gord, let's a bit of fun. Hey, Gord, Kevy Walters, looks like it. Yeah. The signs are all pointing that he will re-sign as coach of the Origin as well. He should. He's doing it.
Why would you want an NRL coaching job if you can just do Queensland for 6 weeks of the year?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, obviously, but it's a bit bigger than that, mate. Obviously, like, you know, there's the programs that come through and trying to go out there and find and develop the next Cameron.
Is it
Smith
how big
Jonathan.
Is it, mate? You think he's a Fox Sports commentator? Doesn't he just do all that stuff while he's on the road?
I don't know whether it's just the 6 weeks. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit bigger than that. Look, mate, it's certainly not an NRL coach. It's not 30 weeks in a preseason, so it's not a 45-week job. But I reckon it's about a 15 weeks, you know.
Okay. I said to Ed earlier, we were just having a chat. Would he be on about 250, 300 grand for that?
I think Laurie Daly's on 500.
Laurie Daly's on 500. Okay. So let's just say...
Just for the State of Origin.
Robin. Wow. Robin, it's a big responsibility. If you lose, the state wakes up angry.
No, that's true. I think it is a big
responsibility. A game of football makes 4.5 million people sad or happy. Yeah. And we got bragging rights for 12 months.
Good. I think he's underpaid. Let's say if Kevy's on the same or even slightly less, if you think about the amount of money, that generates in just television revenue for the Channel 9, who it's one of the biggest things of the year every year. Yeah. If you think about the ticket sales, if you think about the merchandise, if you think about just the people that come to Brisbane or go to the game.
So, Robin, this is up your alley. What do you reckon one of the voice coaches gets paid?
Gordy, I love playing this game because I know the answer to this. You are on it. You're up
200.
No, up.
I was going to say Delta Goodrum would be in about 350. 350?
No, more.
What does Kim Jong-un get the press button? That's the big question.
The voice judges, as far as I know, they would be on, some of them are on close to $1 million.
No. Oh. What?
You serious? To sit there and close their eyes and pretend that they like them?
Oh, Gordy, you and I need to talk off air. This is good fun. This is very good.
There's a bit of acting on that chair.
Isn't there, though? God, Gordy, you and I are going to have a good chat after this.
Yeah, I love it.
He's worth it. He's worth every penny. And, Gord, just one thing you're looking forward to over the weekend before we let you go.
Oh, well, you know, just a week. Well, do you know what? It's size now, so it's like a Melbourne Cup, the NRL season, and we've sort of hit the straight. So people that are jostling, so really the Titans against Penrith, so one of those sides are going to drop out of the race. So there's sides that are going to drop out of the top four race and sides that are going to drop out of the eight. So the Titans against Penrith, whoever wins that, the side that loses it, it's going to be really hard for those guys to make the eight. So the Titans need to keep on winning. So young Ash Taylor up against young Cleary, which will be a great battle.
Oh, yeah.
Gordy, tell us.
Boys, I just checked. Right. Delta Goodrum made $1 million.
No. Yeah. Delta Goodrum?
Oh, my God.
For the voice.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, as you were.
Kevin's worth two.
Kevin's worth two. He is. You're right.
I would press the red button for Kevy Walters. So what does that mean?
On you, Gordy. Thanks, man.
See you, Gord.
Cheers, guys.
Dr. Carl Kruzelinski, good morning. Dr. Carl, what is your amazing fact?
The fastest way we have of transferring data is not optic fibre. It's a big semi-trailer full of big hard drives. Point to point, it's about 1,000 times faster than optic fibre.
Amazing! The semi. So the information superhighway should actually be on a highway.
Well, suppose you want to put 100,000 terabytes of data onto the cloud. You know, so you're a big geoscience company, you've got pictures of the Earth. 100,000 terabytes, your average home drive is about 1 terabyte. So putting them onto the web via optic fibre, 1 gigabit a second, would take you 32 years.
Okay.
So what they do, Amazon has got a big truck full of full of hard drives. They drive to your place. You fill up the 100,000 terabytes. Takes about 10 days. They then drive it to the cloud factory, which takes about 5 days. And then they dump the stuff, which is another 5 days. That's 20 days versus 32 years.
That is a lot of cat videos, but they're all worth it. That's fantastic. Now, Dr. Carl, the new show is called Dr. Carl's Outrageous Acts of Science, Tuesday nights on the Discovery Channel. The new book is called The Doctor. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Dr. Robin, Dr. Ed and Dr. Marto.
Amazing fact.
Can I give you one?
Yeah.
All the sand from the Gold Coast, in fact, all the sand on our coast comes out of the Hawkesbury River. Amazing! Do they have to be true?
That's real.
Is that true?
They have to be true.
Well, I just saw a doco once. It comes out and then turns left at the Hawkesbury River just north of Sydney, and then it all just drops all on our coast. Okay.
Dissipates. Mine is that wombat poo is cube-shaped.
Hello.
Amazing! What?
Yeah.
Square poo.
It's a bit of an old one.
Oh, come on. It's still impressive.
Why is it square? Don't they like it rolling away or something?
Rolling back on top of them.
Oh.
So it doesn't roll back on top of them because they're burrows, because the way their burrows work.
Yeah, but ouch.
Yeah.
Just saying out loud.
Oh, no, they would have adapted their rectum to cover for that.
All right.
Please don't say rectum.
You're allowed to say rectum, because it's a technical term.
Okay.
And we're dealing with facts here, mate.
That's very true. 133353 if you have one.
Got some soccer obscure fact about some human.
I'll come back because I'll sift through the ones that aren't actually dull. In my mind.
133353, get your amazing fact in it. Of course, there is a prize in it for you. It's Friday. 133353, what is your amazing fact and can you beat Dr. Carl hard to?
Hello, Jaden of Springfield Lakes, what you got?
How you doing? So with war memorials where you see someone riding a horse, if that horse has its two front legs in the air, the person riding the horse died in war. If it has one leg in the air, that person died of wounds or illness sustained in the war.
Oh.
Or if it has no legs in the air, that person died of natural causes.
Jayden. Amazing! That's fantastic, Jayden. That's something that
I
people
love
can...
That is brilliant. What are the horses? There's one in King George Square. Is that King George? No, yes.
Yes.
He's on a horse. How many feet are in the air?
Well, there must be none. He died of...
Syphilis?
Or whatever it was.
Most royals die off.
Yes.
Anyway.
Thank you, Jaden. That was fantastic. Here's Danny's from Acacia Ridge. Take it away, Danny.
Yes, mate. There you go. Shep pallets. Everybody knows Shep pallets around Brisbane, Australia.
Everyone's put some on the fire at some stage.
Yeah, that's right. back in the early days, they didn't have things to stack things on back in the World War One, and so the government developed these pallets, and they were called the Commonwealth Hire Equipment Pool. That's what SHEP stands for.
What?
Oh, that's amazing!
Oh, I've been wondering that my whole life.
Say it again, Danny. What's it stand for again?
Commonwealth Hire Equipment Pool.
That is wonderful. Both of these are wonderful. Brendan, can they both win these? Both of these guys are fantastic people.
Sure. Which one do we like better? Chip seemed to... we'll go with that. You are going to Barbacino for functions after work, drinks and casual dining. Head to Barbacino, 175 Eagle Street. $200 for you there, Danny. Well done.
Don't overlook Jaden, though, with his war memorial.
No, of course not. That was a great one. Jaden, you are going to the world premiere Queen tribute show, Queen It's Kind of Magic, QPAC, August 21st. Queen It's a Kind of magic.com for more info on that.
And Robin Bailey, before we get out of here, you've been looking up the origin of the width of the soccer goal and you've come up with something for us.
Okay, so apparently, if you think it's true, soccer developed in London's famed Newgate prison in the early 1800s. Prisoners who had their hands cuffed off for crimes of theft came up with a sport that could only use their feet. And the reason why the goals were the width that they were was that was the distance between the two walls in the prison. Amazing! Is that true, Ed Cavalli?
The one about the shackles, that seems a little bit off because I know there was like a dispute with the rugby school and then people putting it on the ground and stuff like that. But
the width of
the goals, that sounds pretty good, Robin Bailey. I'll give you half a prize.
Okay, and here's another one that I just need confirmation on. Until 1908, soccer balls were made from the inflated stomach tissue
of
executed Irish prisoners.
Wow. Rubbish. Amazing! It wasn't a pig bladder. I was only under the impression it was a pig bladder.
Well, because you had to keep waiting for Paddy to do something wrong before you could have a game. I think
there's so much passion about this great Queensland company. If you don't know, they've been going for 97 years, started at St. Lucia, out at Carroll Park, and yesterday they announced they're closing down. And we've got with us Bruce Alvey, one of the Alveys from Alvey Reels. Morning, Bruce.
Morning. How are you all?
Oh, mate, everyone's so sad, but what happened?
Well, I think we've just had a massive change in the market, and unfortunately the younger generations these days, there's very few seem to think Alvey Reels are what Dad and Grandpa used, and if it hasn't got gold and silver and 20 ball bearings in it, it's no good.
Bruce, are you almost, and this might sound weird, are Alvey Reels almost a victim of their own quality? Because we had guys ringing us up saying that they've had one of your reels for 20 years.
I mean, look, if we made reels that lasted 5 years, 50 years ago, you would have been laughed out of the markets. But you have to make a quality product, otherwise there's no point in making it in our books. And everything we've made or marketed, we've always designed it to last and be good quality. And that's what our family heritage has been, and the brand's always been renowned for that. So.
Bruce, I can imagine that with, you know, just 3 years off your centenary and this being something that's been going on for a little while, it must have been the hardest decision to make.
Yes, Robin. I had lots of sleepless nights. but it unfortunately came down to a financial decision in the end that we just... the last few years, we've poured substantial funds into keeping it afloat, and we don't want to do a Clive Palmer. So we do the right thing by our employees. So, in the good old days, we had 50 employees here. We're down to 15 now. So,
they all cost money. Was there a big family meeting about it, Bruce? You go all the way back to 1920 with Charles.
Yeah, well, that was my great-grandfather. But all the shareholders, which are only family members, have known about it for about a year that it was not good. So, and they trusted us and just said, well, do your best and see what happens. So,
well, Bruce Alvey from Alvey Reels. Look, you're still on sale now, so if people want a quality reel and there's only now going to be a limited amount of time where you can get hold of them, get out there to BCF or wherever it is that you get your stuff. And get yourself an Alvey reel because it'll last a lifetime.
And go and have a look in your granddad's sheds because he'll have an Alvey in there that will still be running.
Yeah. We did a competition recently online to win a reel, just to do a promo. And the number of guys that wrote in and said, I enjoy fishing with my granddad's reel and my dad's reel because it just brings back all those memories of when we used to fish together.
Oh, I'm getting a bit teary.
that doesn't help us sell reels, but it was really nice because that's what fishing's about. Catching a fish is a bonus. It's usually going out with your mate or your family and just having a really nice day on the beach and enjoying yourself. So.
Bruce, I got to ask then, is there anything any of us can do? Is there anything before you finally close the doors that us Queenslanders can do to help you?
I had a very well-known person rang me this morning and said, look, I've got someone I want you to talk to. We don't want to see this happen. So, look, we have been talking confidentially to a number of people, and it's unfortunately because there's not the sales there. It's very hard to sell something that's costing money. Not a lot of people.
Are you talking about Stefan, Bruce? Who are we?
I was going to say, I went to Stefan too.
But it's like all the guys that have been phoning you in. There's really lots of passionate people out there that love our product, but you still come back to you running a business, and a business has to make money to survive.
Thank you to you and the Alvey family for all the joy you've given so many Queenslanders and people around the world, mate. Cheers.
All right. Okay. Thank you, guys.
So it is Women in League round, and Marto, you and I were talking this morning, last night at the Broncos game, the Bulldogs wore pink socks.
Yeah, vivid.
But for the life of us, we couldn't work out what it was that the Broncos were doing or what the whole round means. Now, Robin Bailey, you've done some investigating, I believe.
Well, because I was also watching the game. It was on in the background while I was making dinner, and I was so intrigued by the pink socks because, let's face it, they didn't match the rest of the outfit that I actually Googled it. And the Harvey Norman Women in League Round, it says the National Rugby League's vision for women and girls is to ensure they continue to be included, respected and engaged equally in all aspects of rugby league.
All aspects. That's playing, coaching, whatever, and refereeing, I suppose.
Yeah, and supporting. And being supported. Mm. But
I love what the Roosters are doing.
What are they doing?
They're the only claim I can see. I guess the Penrith Panthers, they always wear pink. Yeah. They wear their strawberry oak milkshake jersey. The Roosters have got the most important woman in their life, female in their life, written in running writing on the front of their jersey.
Oh, that's like that's Jared
Weir Hargrave has Chelsea. Luke Keary's got Diane. Who's that bloke? Oh, Mitch Orbison's got
Is that the
Laura.
Roosters that's doing that?
Roosters, yeah. Isn't that nice?
Does Mitch Pearce have a paw print?
Stop it. No, there's no photo of Mitch's most important female.
But we were wondering exactly what the Broncos did because they weren't wearing any pink socks or anything that seemed to reflect.
So let's go live.
Reflect.
Sorry, Robin. Let's go live now to Triple M sideline reporter
He's
Sam Hargraves.
He's standing next to us.
Yeah, right. Still like, who joins us live at the studio.
Morning, Sam. Guys. I can just make you out from right next to you. How are you?
Next to us. Yeah, good. Hey, Sam, what did the Broncos do?
Well, from what I could see, apart from the cheerleaders, was that they had the a lot
of... the Broncos got cheerleaders? They don't get Rockets. On telly very often.
Yeah, no, they do. I was sitting next to them.
How many?
I bet you were.
Well, there's Courtney. I don't know. I think there's about eight.
Seven or eight. Yeah.
Do you think that's a bit demeaning in women in league ground? The cheerleaders should have had the weekend off, I believe.
What, and have to the do what?
You've got
on.
Women dressed in skimpy clothing cheering men on. Is that really what we want?
Well, could we have manpower?
Skimpy. Oh, my God.
Manpower.
Velcro strides just when they score. Rip them off. Have a look at this.
That's an excellent idea, Robin. So you already were getting ahead of it. That's great. So apart from the cheerleaders, Sam, what did they have?
They had a lot of the women members and I think significant others of the Broncos players. And I believe most of them were the women members lining up as they ran out onto the ground to almost the guard of honour.
Any children involved? Is that
at halftime, there was they have the often the little league players out there. Yeah. They were all girls, young girls playing at halftime, which was great. Okay. They put on a great show. Actually, much better show than Canterbury put on in the second half.
He's editorialising.
Well, hey,
okay.
Just for everyone, tell them what you told me about Des Hasler.
He has got the strongest handshake I've deceptive. Ever felt in my life. He almost crushed my hand.
Wow.
Deceptive.
That's what
you were. Why? Why would he have a handshake like that? What's he trying to prove?
He does
like,
a lot of
suspicious?
Body weight. It's a long story. But he does a lot of push-ups and pull and chin-ups.
I can't do any ever again after he crushed me.
So the Broncos had nothing on their jersey.
Not that I could see. And, of course, the Bulldogs had those very, very bright retina-burning pink socks.
Pink socks.
Which we thought might have been the reason why the Broncos were so unorganised in defence in the first part because they were blinded.
Well, they should just go the whole... I mean, what's socks? Just wear a whole pink outfit. But isn't pink... Mm. Robin, as a woman...
Yeah.
When you see pink, do you think, I'm being represented here?
No. Okay, no. So the official female colour is purple because that was the colour of the suffragettes. So if you want to do it as a purple. Real chick thing, then wear
Melbourne
purple.
Melbourne Storm, they're on.
Yeah, Melbourne Storm, they should be all over it. And I've just gone to Twitter and there's an awesome photo of the Broncos cheerleaders with Brad Fittler. Doing a thumbs up.
Last night.
No, last night. Oh,
well, the referees were wearing purple as well. So.
Who was?
The referees. Yeah. Mm.
Oh. There you go. See?
You know what it's really all about?
What?
Is what it's got a sponsorship. It's the Harvey Norman
Harvey
Women
Norman.
In League.
Yeah.
Katie Page, wife of Jerry Harvey. That's what it's really all about.
I won't have that.
Well, what are you talking about?
Women in League ground, mate. It's not about them.
No,
yeah,
it's all about,
what
it's about making
about?
Her happy.
How dare you?
It's about making her happy. She's on the board of the NRL.
It's okay, about... give him another whistle.
Yeah.
Oh, get stuffed. The Broncos, don't give me a whistle.
Could be a red almost now. Nearly a red. Descent. Okay. Watch yourself.
At the moment, you're on a pink sock. You're on a yellow card and a pink sock.